Welcome. You are listening to The Creative Spark. My name is G. Brian Benson, and I'm an award-winning author, project coach, actor, TEDx speaker, creative, and four-time Ironman triathlete. I love to creatively inspire and be inspired. And with each episode, I will be talking of authors, athletes, entrepreneurs, artists, and actors sharing their journey of success and learning how to find the joy and peace of mind that comes with stepping into one's own skin and going beyond anything they might previously have thought possible. I hope that their stories and strategies provide insight, tools, and empowerment to step up your creative game and help you live your best life. So without further ado, let's get going. Jamie Wyman's music is both personal and expansive, weaving raw emotion with a sense of hope. Her voice, ethereal, transcendent, and powerful, carries songs that rise from the ashes, turning pain into light. Rooted in deep truth, her music balances vulnerability and strength, offering a space where listeners can feel seen and uplifted. As a former social worker and lover of all things metaphysical, Jamie spends her time pursuing the life purpose she spelled out for a class assignment in college, to illuminate possibilities for human development in individuals and society. After pursuing a law degree and working in broken systems, Jamie realized music was her greatest tool for making positive change in the world. Welcome, Jamie. I am excited to have you join me today.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. I have so many questions for you. This is going to be fun. But before we kind of dive into a lot of the great work that you're doing musically right now, I would love it if you would share a little bit of your backstory, maybe how and why you transitioned from social work to music.
I had a long social work journey. When I was in college, I started advocating for survivors of sexual assault because I started to figure out that a lot of the people I knew had been assaulted, and I wanted to do something to help, to stop. I mean, I can't really stop it, but, just get involved with that and be there to support people. So I was trained as an advocate, and then wanted to get some more power to help change that. And so I went to law school, and I was volunteering as an advocate throughout that time, just as like a support advocate. And then after law school, I ended up in a position that was at a domestic violence shelter and sexual assault advocacy program, supervising other advocates and things like that. And then I made my way back to Montana and was working for child protection in Montana, working for the state. And I had always wanted to be a singer in a band just for fun. I loved singing.
Yeah.
And so when I moved back to Montana, I joined a band kind of at the same time that I started working for Child Protective Services. And it was my outlet for that job because it was such a hard, emotionally draining job. Every Sunday I'd go to band practice and sing it out.
Real quick question. So, I mean, yeah, I was just wondering, like, how does someone who works with people that are going through so many tough experiences, how do you not let that affect you?
I mean, I don't think it's possible to not let it affect you. I think it affects everyone.
Right.
It's in different ways, you know. So I think some people are. I'm an empath for sure. I have a hard time when insects die. I was saving worms the other day, drying out on the sidewalk. So I feel a lot, you know. But other people don't have quite that level of empathy, and they still care about people, but they don't take it on as much. And I think that there are people that are a little bit more just able to be in it longer and continue to do the work. But I think it affects everyone. It's hard to watch other people suffer.
So you started to do the band as kind of an outlet.
Yeah. It became an outlet. It was just more like, I've always wanted to sing. I'm going to do this. So I went on Craigslist, and there was an ad for this band looking for a singer. And it said, "Do you love Janis Joplin and Bonnie Raitt? And can you sing? You don't have to have any experience. You just have to be able to sing. So I was like, oh, I think this is for me because I love those singers. Those are like my favorite singers. So, or that was, you know, my inspiration. People I always talked about singing, you know, I love Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
So, it worked out. It was, they had me audition in the middle of a coffee shop. So that was kind of
really
nerve-wracking because I hadn't really sung. I do karaoke, you know, but just to sing in the middle of a coffee shop was kind of weird for me.
Well, I mean, that would be, yeah, definitely, what's that, trial under fire.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. And so did they interview anybody else, or did they say you got the job? And or
I think they just decided I had the job. I'm not really sure if they found anybody else or not. I just went with it.
So prior to that, you just kind of sang on your own and in church and what have you. And did you play guitar or anything then too? Or did you pick that up later?
Yeah, no, I didn't. My main singing outlet was karaoke.
Okay.
And I had taken a few voice lessons in college for a class. I had like a creativity class and we had to learn something that terrified us. And I really wasn't terrified of anything creative, but that was kind of the closest because I thought, well, maybe there's a reason I've been avoiding this. So I'll take some singing lessons. And so I did that just for a short time. And I grew up playing piano. And so after the band, I started to get songs when I was in the band. And so I had to kind of go back to the piano to write my songs. And then that wasn't really feeling like the right instrument for me. And so then I transitioned to the ukulele because it only had four strings.
And you're right. It's either that or the bass. And like, yeah, no, we're going to do a uke.
I learned how to strum on the ukulele. So that was a good skill. And then I transitioned to the guitar only like probably in like 2020.
Wow. But I mean, obviously you're proficient enough now to go out there and play it live and rock and roll. And yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
also trial by fire.
Yeah, it's, you know, was that like a step out of your comfort zone, or did you just kind of feel natural and like, I got this, I want to learn how to do it? Or was it a combination?
I really love to sing and I love to write songs, but I don't love the guitar. It's okay now. It's like a tool for doing what I need.
No, that's awesome. So for myself, someone that like also utilizes like personal experiences in the growth process to create, you know, the stuff that I do, whether it's in my written works or short films or what have you, how has including your own journey into your work, I don't know, just help you heal and share? And
so the first time that it really, I mean, I think all songs are based on our life, you know, I mean, it's like you have your life perspective and stuff and you can write about other people or whatever, but it's always kind of coming from your own perspective.
Yeah.
The first time it was like an outlet for me was when I was working for Child Protective Services. And I spent like 17 hours one day with this baby that almost died. And I got home and I was just exhausted and I was either going to cry or write a song. And the song came out, and I might have cried too, but not to the same extent I would have if I hadn't had that outlet. So that was kind of the first experience of it, like being really a release point. And that wasn't too scary to share or anything. I did after that wrote a couple of like love song or breakup songs, and one time I ended up singing. Kind of for the first, it was like one of the first or second times I performed it publicly, this song about this guy that I brought in.
was
the scariest one.
Was that mortifying?
Yeah.
I want to talk about your third studio album, Return to the Mothership, which actually is coming out around the same time this will be released, this podcast, on April 17th. And so it's this huge undertaking. It's like a 22-track folk rock opera following a heroine's journey through the ups and downs of making the world a better place. And so There's a lot to talk about in this regard. I mean, I know that you have tried to make the world a better place, with what you've already talked about in social work. And I've read where a lot of your songs kind of are written maybe for your own healing experience, but also like to maybe help other people who are going through like compassion fatigue and those that are trying to make the world a better place and are very feeling oriented and empathic. Am I on the right track?
Yes, yep.
Okay, so enough of you, please let me know. Talk to me.
Yeah. You're like, what do I do with this? It's a
Yeah,
lie.
this is a monster. This is huge in a good way.
I don't really know how it got to be such a monster, honestly, but I started to make this Return to the Mothership thing, and some of the songs were already written when I knew I was doing this project, and they kind of fit their way into it. They hadn't been recorded yet. Like, one of the songs is called Begin Again. I've been playing that for a while, but it hadn't really made it onto any of the other albums that I made. I spent some time, there were times when I specifically sat down to write the album, and kind of, I think songs just kind of come to me. I have the kind of the Rick Rubin theory of like there's songs floating out there and we can grab onto them, and if we don't, somebody else might do it and stuff like that. One of my songs is called Turtles All the Way Down, and I just found out that Sturgill Simpson has one called that as well. It's much different.
Well, no, I know exactly what song you're talking about. It's kind of a, it's totally different than anything. I think it's very spacey. It's a really cool song. And I can't wait to hear yours.
Yeah, it was just interesting how that like it's sort of like in the air, in the
The
water,
ether.
in the ether. So I just started putting this together, and I had this kind of collection of songs, and I was outlining like what's the story that I knew I wanted it to tell a story. I wanted to help people kind of based on my experience of the ups and downs. Like there's just so many ups and downs of helping people. So sometimes it feels really good and like, oh, I've helped today. It's like I've been able to support someone. It feels really good. Then there's days when it feels hopeless, and it's like there's so much work to do, and there's so many people that are being hurt, and it's hard to see it, that there might be anything good in the world. And then other days, you're just like, okay, I'm gonna take a minute for myself. That comes less often when you're in the midst of things like compassion fatigue. But I wanted to kind of acknowledge that journey, and that some days are good, some days are not good, and speak to that. And I ended up, when I outlined it, I ended up with 22 tracks, which is the number of cards in the major arcana of the tarot, which is also one of my key cards. I just have always had fun kind of consulting the cards, mostly to get a different perspective on my thought process and stuff. And so I was like, I've always wanted to make a deck too. I've tried on a couple of occasions. I'm not really I don't consider myself like a visual artist. I have some aptitude, but not. Have never pursued that, and so I did dive in and make some paintings for those cards to go with this album. But it was sort of like, well, I guess I'm just gonna do this. It was like everything has just sort of unfolded, and I've been it's like I've been following the cues of the universe. Like,
No, and
all right, now
that's
we're here.
perfect. Yeah, I mean, you're tapped into your intuition. I mean, so did you, was the 22 songs and the 22 cards in the tarot, was that just a coincidence, or did you kind of see it coming together that way as you were putting it all together?
I didn't, it snuck up on me for
Okay,
sure.
cool. Well, there are no accidents.
I don't, it's like, sort of like, oh, I should have thought of that to begin with. Because I was like, I had even looked up like the hero's journey, how to tell the hero's journey story, because it's sort of like, it's the kind of rubric for all stories, Star Wars or whatever. It's out there. So I Googled that and was like, okay, what do I need to do? What are the pieces? And then when I had the 22 tracks, I was like, oh, I can put my songs in order based on how they fit with these cards, because I know the cards. And like, so I just sort of used the cards as like a match. So like the Empress is very feminine, kind of song. And so I put that with this song that had the word goddess in it and was about being tapping into your feminine intuition and stuff like that. So I was able to kind of match them, and it made my storytelling easier.
Gosh. So, I mean, I think I already know this answer. I mean, you had talked about, you knew it was time for you to take another path in some ways, like from your social work. And I know there's a lot of other people that are doing social work and really difficult, good work. And it's probably really easy to lose yourself. And I think a lot of folks who are very empathic and do that aren't able to probably take care of themselves as well as they would like to and should, you know, to keep that cup full, to be able to help others. So you realized that early on, correct? And kind of changed your path a little bit to maybe help people in another way. And this is for those folks who are, you know, just dealing with fatigue and just the toughness of the world.
I think that sometimes being acknowledged helps a lot. When I worked for Child Protective Services, there's another organization called CASA, Court Appointed Special Advocates, and it's a great organization. And they called a meeting with our office and had all the social workers come, and they gave us gifts to say thank you for the work we were doing. They gave us like a free massage and some other stuff and to acknowledge us. And I never used the massage because I was too busy and too burned out to even schedule that. But the fact that they said thank you was huge. It was like, oh, it's not, because that job is so hard. It's like the kids don't like you, the parents don't like you, the attorneys don't like you. You know, it's like everybody, the law enforcement kind of does, but not really always. And so it's just sort of like, okay, we're not just out here on our own, like, you know.
We're being appreciated.
We were appreciated, and it helped to just to be seen in it. And like, someone sees how hard this is. And so I think the music can be that for people, and also just that magic that the music does, like vibrationally, music helps and the words help. And so it's sort of a combination of like, I see you out there, I see you doing this really hard work, and I appreciate you. That's kind of the message and where I hope to be a contributor.
Yeah, you already are. Yeah. Yeah. Where did your love of tarot and astrology and metaphysics come from?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure that I know where it came from. I do remember one of the first times I had a reading. Two of my friends and I went to a tarot reader, and we had like a group reading. I think one of them still has a tape with that recorded on it, and I would really like to listen to it.
Yeah, right.
I was like 18 at the time, and who knows what's on that. But I think it's a good kind of supplement to talk therapy kind of stuff, because the cards sort of give you this other thing to focus on and give you messages that sometimes you can't hear when another person says it. And honestly, it's really strange how you'll pull a card and you'll sometimes be like, oh, this, no way, this can't be the right card. You put it back in, shuffle it, and then you pull it again. Like, the odds of that are so low.
Right.
It's happened to me 3 times in a row before, you know, so it's like this.
You're getting smack. Listen, read. Yeah.
So it's a little bit of like, I don't know, I, you know, that law of attraction, vibrational universe, kind of magic that happens. And also just like an intellectual level, just like, hey, let's look at this a different way. think about this in a different way.
No, I don't know if I've ever quite heard part of your answer in that regard, and I love it. It makes total sense. I mean, I'm a big fan as well, and I think I've just always, it's always just been under the surface for me, kind of knowing that like this is just kind of an illusion, this situation, this incarnation, what have you. I mean, when I was little, I had these glow-in-the-dark stickers I put around my door, kind of like that's where I'm from, and I
Oh.
told my mom when I was three, like I was put here to inspire people. And it's, I don't
Oh.
know, it's just, it's been, it's for me, like whenever I, listen to an astrologer I like, I just, it almost, since I feel like I'm pretty intuitive, it gives me confirmation of what I'm feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, and it just kind of makes me relax a little bit more into it, and just with human design and astrology, numerology, it's all so interwoven. It's just mind-boggling how accurate it is, and if we, you can really, I really feel like I know myself really well and how I'm kind of wired, and it just, it's another confirmation, and it just helps me become more self-aware.
I find those, I like the little bit of magic. It's fun, you know, and
Yes.
I and it's if even if it can never be proved, which I think someday it will be, I think there's something to it, you
Yeah.
know. And I've been kind of obsessed with the telepathy tapes recently because they're kind of working on proving things. But yeah, I think there's this, some of us come here with this like kind of knowing that we're here for a reason. I don't think everyone has that, but that there's like we're here to sort of like raise the vibration, lift, you know, help people make it brighter and lighter and brighter here. And that's who my album's for too, the light workers. I have
Yeah.
a song that says light workers change, calling all light workers change makers, healers and wisdom seekers. And I think even, you know, the wisdom seekers, the people are people who are working to heal themselves and working to heal like generational trauma and stuff like that. I think that's a huge piece of it. And so even if you're focused on making yourself better, that's a journey that with ups and downs,
Oh
and
yeah.
it's super important. People don't hurt people.
Well,
People hurt
absolutely.
people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, great. Yeah. I mean, and that's where, that's everything. That's, I think, why we're here, really, just to kind of re-remember the wisdom that we brought into this incarnation. And the hardest thing for us to do as humans is to really learn how to love and accept ourselves. And if we can do that, everything else falls into place. And
Yeah.
just gives permission to other people to be the same way and to do the same thing. I don't know, I'm on a soapbox,
Yeah.
but you know what I
Yeah.
mean. It,
Don't get us started.
don't get us started. That's funny. And with what you're doing through your album, I mean, music's healing, and a story in so many different ways, whether it's of writing the song itself or just to the people that are receiving it. Music is just, most music, it just has that vibration that is uplifting.
Yeah. Yep. It's and it's even people that are just making music not for the purpose of helping people or healing people. It is doing that anyway, right? Like
Well, the creative process, connecting with
song.
source. So you shared, well, a couple times you stepped out of your comfort zone, obviously the singing at the audition in the coffee shop and learning how to play guitar. What were a few other times you stepped out of your comfort zone? What did you learn?
I'm not an adventurous person physically. Like I don't like to do adventure. Like I'm not gonna skydive. I don't like to go fast. All that stuff. But I'm an emotional risk taker. Taken a lot of emotional risks. And let's try to think of one now. I mean, related to music, because it's on my brain to know everything before I can know anything. Like I don't feel like I can really speak about something unless I know everything. That's my tendency. And you know, just that's sort of the culture there is to like know more, read more, learn more, you know. And I think people who are in industry are kind of, you know, the joke is like academics don't know how, can't, if you can't do, you teach, right? Like, it's like,
yeah, well, yeah, when I was in LA, that's what they said to acting coaches and stuff.
You can get stuck in that learning process and that, like, so anyway, when I started music, I decided I wasn't going to take any lessons. I was just going to dive in. And so I started doing open mics and jam nights so I could learn how to play with other musicians. And yeah, I was sort of like, I knew if I started with lessons, and I have since taken some lessons, but if I started there, I wouldn't have the guts to go out in front of people until I was like, because it's endless. I mean, even the best musicians in the world are always learning something about music. It's an endless thing, you know, learning in general is. But if you're a perfectionist, you think, oh, I need to get this just right before I can go, you know. So I would take songs half finished out to the open mic and, you know.
No, that's huge, because being a perfectionist, I would imagine it would be scary taking a half-finished song, because a lot of perfectionists would need to have it completely done the way that they felt like it needed to be done.
Yeah. It was scary.
Good on you.
It's what I survived.
Yes, you did. You know, you didn't just survive, you thrived. So in addition, obviously, to your past experiences being a social worker and stuff, where else do your ideas and creativity come from?
You know, one of the things that happens is that I sing songs to my dog or my dogs. I have had past dogs I've sung songs to. So sometimes I'll just be singing something to them and it turns into something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really, like, I kind of like open the channel and things just come and I just start singing about life, depends on what I'm doing. One of the songs on the album is called Murmuration, and that one was really fun because I write a lot of songs in the car, because it's that, like, you're doing something but you have your brain free, but you can't, like, go
yeah
internet or do, you know, you only have to be stuck there with your mind.
The car works for me too. That's where I get a lot of ideas also.
Yeah. So I was driving through Montana, like, on my way to Missoula, and there's this area called the Nine Pipes conservation area or something. It's a bird, like, it's a wildlife refuge kind of area.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of wetlands and birds there. And I got in the middle of a murmuration of starlings, which is when they school of fish and make, you know, turn all together and
yeah,
a big cloud of birds, you know. And I thought I was gonna hit a bunch of birds because I was that close to, like, I was in the cloud of birds. I just kind of braced myself. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna kill these birds. I didn't hit a single bird, and I was like, holy crap, that was just fun. Like, that was so cool. I just felt like I got to be part of that for a minute, and so immediately started writing a song about that because it was such a profound experience. But you know, just thinking about how can we as humans learn from that, and really, like, I kind of did some research on the murmuration, and they do that to stay warm. They protect themselves from the predators moving like that. The predator has a hard time singling one out to get, you know, if we all worked together like that, just think how powerful we'd be.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I mean, hey, you just never know where something's going to come from. I hear a line or a word, it's like, boom, and just all this download comes, you know, for a poem or something. And it's just, we just got to be open. You never know.
Go with it. I just basically write the song that comes. I can write songs. Like, if I set out to write a song, you know, like with let's write a love song about such and such. Like, okay, I could do that. But it's not the same for me. And I think the ones that kind of come, they have a little more meat to them.
I totally agree. A little more magic.
Yeah.
Does low self-esteem ever affect your creativity?
You know, I don't have low self-esteem about my songwriting. Like, I feel like I write the songs that come to me. So it's not about me really. It's about just getting them out. And I never really worry, like, I have sat down one of my songs called Wrong, which is on the new album. I sat down to have a songwriting session, which isn't always the best way for me to do this. the songwriting, but I was kind of stuck, and I wrote down, the whole problem is I'm trying too hard to do this life right. And it was like, I'm trying, the perfectionist in me is trying to write a hit song, right? Like, must be good. I write a profound song right now, you know? So then that turned into a song, and I didn't intend for it to. It was just me trying to get words out of my brain, like get the pen going, get the, you know how you can do like free writing, like right now, and I'm just going to get it out to me alone. And then turned into a song.
Well, you never, I mean, I get it. I get it. Well, that brings me to another question. Do you, when you were talking about like trying to write a hit song, whereas maybe where you try to muscle it a little bit more than just allow it to come through, do you find yourself thinking about or guiding your art as you are creating it so that it will be more marketable? Or do you just, you know, as you do as well, go with your heart and intuition and hope that it is marketable?
I think I've always had this question I've asked myself, and I've definitely gotten better at writing songs over time just because like my skill level has increased. I'll like actually get out what I want to get out of my head. But one of the questions I've always asked myself is this too cheesy? Is this line too cheesy? So it's sort of in that vein of like, is this marketable? It's like, is this cringy? I don't know. Let's with this a little bit more.
I mean, it's funny because a lot of marketable stuff is kind of that way.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Not that, I don't know. It just, well, I no, it's so fun. Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't use the word cheesy in my mind, but I think it's more just like this filter I have when I'm doing stuff. It's like, you know, that's either too common or that's too, I don't know, trying to be too fanciful or what. And it just, I don't know, it kind of, yeah, it just acts as this little filter. And most of the time it's pretty right on. And I guess I'm a perfectionist in my own way too, but it's just interesting how that works through my work, and it sounds like your work as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some editing in there. The human gets in the way.
yeah, the ego.
Let's fix this.
What's a recent obstacle that you went through that ended up being a blessing?
I feel like I've been a bit of an underdog in the music scene locally. Actually, I wrote a song called The Underdog to speak to that. I think part of it is because when I was early in my music adventure, I would go to open mic before my songs were done, or before I really knew how to play the guitar very well or play the piano very well. And so, you know, other people in the community saw me in those early stages and sort of just didn't give me a chance to grow. And so this really cool thing happens when I go somewhere else and play music. I get a different reaction than when I play locally. I mean, some local people haven't heard me, you know, and that's for the first time they're hearing me, and they don't have that expectation in their mind. But I feel like that's been kind of a piece. I've just kept going even without, you know, kind of there's people in the community that are just sort of more like the established musicians that are looked up to by, you know, oh, you should really ask so-and-so for some help, or you should ask, you know, do you know this person, you know, like they're the taste makers, or the, you know, they set the bar. And I just kept going, you know, and I have built my own thing. And more recently, since I embarked on this journey with the mothership, it's like things are really going now. Like, it's clicking because I'm being my weird self.
Well,
I'm not
trying
to be a musician how I'm supposed to be a musician.
I think that as a creative, whatever field the creative is in, that is the most important thing to do. And I know myself, I resonate with that, because initially I kind of tried to do it like other authors or other folks or whatever. And it's just like, it never really clicked because I wasn't really, I think I was still also kind of figuring out how I wanted to share and show up, but I wasn't really being true to myself. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, if we can just fall into that, it really makes things a lot easier and just more enjoyable for the process and journey.
Yeah. Instead of trying to fit ourselves in where we don't, it's like find the people that we do fit with.
Yeah. Well, that was a huge step out of your comfort zone to go up and do that stuff, you know, as you were learning. I mean, I applaud that. What's success mean to you?
I mean, there's a few different layers of success. Like, recently I've been connecting with people that are like speaking my language back to me. Like, it was such a synchronicity to find you on Facebook today. You know, like that is a layer of success that just like brings me so much joy, because that's my language. You know, that's the magic that I like. You know, it's like, oh, I was feeling this today and then I saw your video and it was really spoke to me. And, you know, so that connecting with people, how I want to connect with people, is really a success, because I've had, you know,
on your terms,
when I've put songs out in the past, you know, it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's a good song or whatever. And sort of meh, you know, it's like,
yeah,
not a lot of like, just not as, I don't know. I've just been getting a lot of like meaningful connection with people, which is what I really like. And then being able to pay my bills fully from music is my also definition of success. You know, I don't need Taylor Swift level, but
that might be a little too much. That's a lot to manage.
A lot.
And it opens up a lot of can of worms that I don't think we would want to have to deal with.
Exactly.
Oh God. Well, I did, you know, I found you on Facebook and yeah, I just kind of found what you were doing in your message really cool, in the way that you were incorporating all the different things, whether it was tarot and the music and the message and a little bit of mysticism, and as well as, you know, just the positive vibes and wanting to make the world a better place and to help people. So that combination was unique. And so, you know, I applaud you for showing up that way. And I know that you'll definitely continue to find, you know, people that will resonate.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's some advice? What's something that you wish you could tell your 20-year-old self looking back?
Well, actually, I think I wrote a song about that.
Oh, of course you did.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, no. Yeah, no, it's called, yeah. I have a song called Younger Me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And one of the lines in it, and I haven't recorded that, actually. There might be a live version on YouTube, but one of the lines is that in that says, you can always reinvent yourself, but you don't have to leave. I always just felt like, as a kid, like, you know, I'm in eighth grade and I'm like, oh, as soon as I get to high school, I'll be able to be different. I'll get to reinvent myself because it'll be a different setting. And then I'd get to high school and then I'm the same person still, you know, and it's like, or like if I move, you know, maybe I can reinvent myself and like just be different. And you just don't, you can just do that at any time. You can always get more, it's more like getting more in alignment with myself. And I honestly, we have kind of a youth focused culture. I would not go backwards. I'm 44 now, and every year has been better than the past year. I've learned more. I feel more confident in myself. You couldn't pay me to go back to 20. Like, I wouldn't want to go back. So the advice is, it just keeps getting better if you let it, and if you settle into who you really are and allow that to come forward.
I love that. No, that's a great answer. Do you have any advice for any up and coming musicians?
Yeah, just do it. Just do it. You know, I think there's a lot of, I think with the advent of, and now it's been a while, but like The Voice and the American Idol and all that stuff, there's really a focus on perfection with those shows. Mm-hmm. And one time I went back and listened to watch some Janis Joplin videos on YouTube, and man, she would have been voted off those shows so fast. Pitchy, she was wild. But to me, the feeling is 100 times more important than the perfection.
Yes, the energy.
And the, you know, the proficiency comes by doing it. That's the only way. It gets better. So just do it and sing your heart out and play your heart out.
I love it. No, and that's just, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's great advice for anybody in any creative field. Just let it rip.
Yeah. Let it rip. I like that.
Let it rip. Gosh, we're kind of coming down to the end here, but I know I want you to share a little bit more about your new album, Return to the Mothership. And I know that there's so much else going on. I mean, you have, it's like you had said, it was an ecosystem. You know, you have, you do some streaming with it, you have kind of a little community, you pull cards.
This was that whole, like, I didn't really plan any of this. It just keeps happening.
Well, that's the perfect thing. Yes, let it evolve. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the tarot cards, so it's a 22-track rock opera. It's listenable by itself. Each song stands on its own. Some of the tracks are spoken word or whatever. And so, you know, if you're just picking track number one on the album, it only lasts for about 10 seconds or something. But the full songs stand on their own. And you can just listen to the music, and that's fine. That's cool. And or you can take the journey and listen to the whole album from start to finish, because it is a story. And then I paired it with a deck of tarot cards. So if you're into that, you can pull a card and listen to the song and read the guidebook to see what kind of message you can get from the song that day. And then I've created this thing called the Mothership Experience, which is, it's a community. It's kicking off with an 8-day workshop, which I think by the time this airs, it'll be too late to miss the live version of the 8-day workshop, but it will be available on my Patreon. But it's using the music and the tarot cards and some other tools, journaling and that kind of stuff, to do some like transformational exercises to really, just a chance for the light workers out there, social workers, all the good do-gooders to come together and take a break, kind of sink into yourself, give yourself a moment to breathe, to connect with other people. And so all those, the 8 days will be available online. And then every month I'm going to continue through the Patreon channel to do a live workshop too. So you won't fully miss the live, but, so yeah. And then there's just like a community on there. There's a chat room that people can talk to each other, and, we get to connect and be cool people together. But yeah. Oh, and I also do a Monday live stream that's, open to anybody. Those are more casual, and I just play some music and pull some cards. I bring other decks and stuff, and if you're in there and you want a card pull, I'll pull you a card. I'm not a professional tarot reader. So if I pull you a card, I'll be reading out of the booklet probably. But it's just sort of like, that's what I do with my friends for fun. And so getting everybody else in on it too.
I love all that you're doing. I love your music, and, I hope you're patting yourself on the back. I mean, what you've put together is pretty, pretty impressive.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And I'll have all your information in the show notes, but people can find you at jamiewymanband.com, and that's JAMIEWYMANband.com. And I really appreciate you coming on, Jamie. This is really a fun chat.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck with everything, and we'll have to have you on again down the road.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Spark. To learn more about host G. Brian Benson and all that is going on in his Creative Spark world, as well as this week's amazing guest, please visit the show notes. We love building community, making new friends, and spreading the goodness. So don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, as Brian always says, be well, be creative, and always be yourself.